Want to kickstart your journalism career? Storyology is the Walkley Foundation's Festival of Journalism and Storytelling. Next week, the Darlinghurst Theatre will be buzzing with the best journalists from across Australia and overseas. Join us for discussion, debate, and the chance to make career-defining contacts. Tickets at walkleys.com. Students can use the offer code STUDENT at the checkout.
A lot of people who've been injured in accidents don't realise they might be entitled to compensation. But the truth is, if you have been injured, one phone call could change your life. A specialist injury lawyer can give you advice over the phone. Law Partners is Australia's largest specialist personal injury firm, and it costs nothing to call their local office and get some advice. Call Law Partners on 133 529 or visit
That's right. Are you ready to rumble? You're on the Gristle to SCR 107.3. We've got a huge show for you this evening. We're going to be talking about... Oh my God, where is it? I'm too drunk. No, I'm not quite like Tony. But constitutional confusion. Politicians wait 7 weeks before finding out if they have a job. Freedom versus freedom. Abbott argues giving same-sex couples the freedom to get married could destroy us. But then Matthias Cormann is accusing Shorten of harbouring Reds under the bed, but is it really Tony Abbott to blame on that front? Plus, all the chicanery from Trump's rally and more. Stick around, you're on the Gristle on Triple Sound 107.3. Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SCR 107.3 and 2SCR.com. And we've got a huge show for you this evening. You're joined by me, the Pundit Hacker. Big shout out to The Wire, excellent half hour of current affairs. Just having some slight technical issues here. Cough twice. Oh, looks like some of their headphones are...
Crap.
Oh, they're not crap. They're just living in a parallel dimension where sound waves don't travel. Might just do a bit of a switcheroony. Joining me on the show, we've got down in Mexico Way, a.k.a. Chadstone, Melbourne, we've got
La Cucara.
Warm Lettuce. Can you hear us? Warm Lettuce.
I can, and it's good to be calling in from Mexico, a.k.a. Victoria.
Indeed. I can hear all those spring breakers as we go to air. Regular... Demo Crazy back in the house.
Good evening.
And Starvin Marvin is so starvin, he hasn't got any oxygen. Well,
good to be here, though.
He's here. He's not queer, but that's actually something we will be talking about, same-sex marriage, very shortly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, not there's anything wrong with that, you know, except for the purpose of constitutional confusion. Team, a bunch of parliamentarians this week packed their bags, went down to STA travel, and got an around-the-world trip straight down the hill to the High Court. The High Court has decided to announce the hearing dates for the various reviews and challenges to the eligibility of certain MPs, including our favourite Malcolm Roberts, to sitting in our nation's highest chamber. Team, there was another terrible poll out for the coalition this week, 54-46, which, if you look at margins of error, basically Labor's at 51. Warm.
I like to think that Malcolm Turnbull's popularity as Prime Minister is roughly about the same as Ben Affleck's popularity as Batman, which is not a good sign. So.
And wait, hang on. So that makes Tony Abbott Superman, and Batman vs. Superman isn't even shitter film.
But yeah, what if Malcolm wears his leather jacket on Q&A again? I mean, that could change
leather,
everything. That could be a game changer.
Leather versus Lycra. Demo crazy, you know, for the politically disengaged Australian public, I think many people take a look around at this dual nationality farce and they just want it over, and there's a sense that maybe that's feeding into these opinion polls for Turnbull. 18 news polls he's lost in a row. He's got 12 left.
And I think it's only going to continue now that the High Court heard yesterday the appeals from the government, and the government's so incompetent in terms of how they've handled this dual citizenship mess, but they've now brought the public service into it because it's the Solicitor General who has to argue these dodgy arguments to the High Court.
This is a new one.
Can I ask a question? Is that the Solicitor General that was picked by George Brandis after the last Solicitor General?
This is the new lackey.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Lackey, right. Yeah,
the lackey bandit.
The one that always says yes. can I just say we've been talking about this on the radio show for a few weeks now, more than a few weeks. I'm a little bit over it. I think everybody's over it, but every time you think you're over it, something new pops up, and this week it's about whether Bill Shorten himself is of course a dual citizen. Now, do you think that's just, rumour mongers, or is there any truth?
Well,
where's the paperwork? That's the thing, isn't it?
He actually pulled out the big guns and likened that question to the Obama birther conspiracy, which was not a long bow to draw.
Not at all a long bow.
Because
why not open the filing cabinet and bring out the paperwork?
Yeah. Well, I think the point is that they've said, look, we've got it here, and that they've been very open.
We're not showing it to you. We've got it here.
But they've run through with journalists what they've done, and so I think that's fine. But the point, in terms of these arguments, one thing is making a political argument or to the media. Another thing is going to the High Court and trotting out these dodgy lines. So they've successfully argued to the High Court that these issues should be seen as two batches. One for the people who were born overseas and so probably should have had a better idea.
So and Scotty and
Malcolm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then the other ones are apparently unwitting. So
yeah.
For example,
witless,
I would have thought Barnaby Joyce would have had an idea that his dad was a Kiwi when his dad asked him to pass the fish and chips at dinner.
Oh.
But apparently that's unwitting. Now, if you want to talk about unwitting...
Yeah, it's beef, that's why.
Well,
yeah.
If you want to talk about unwitting, Luke Skywalker, that's a guy that had an unwitting revelation about his dual citizenship. I am your father! He's like, hang on, you were born in one planet, you went and moved to another, and then, like, you married someone, you moved to another again. That is unwitting.
Is he Minister for Technology and Innovation?
But it's not unwitting when you've lived with your dad your whole life and you knew he was a Kiwi.
All right.
Yes,
Panataka?
Well, look, I actually was hoping to now talk to segue smoothly into same-sex marriage and flyers that have been floating around this suburb here in Sydney. We might actually go to a quick track, and coming up after break, we might jam in, not unlike a conga line, in a dark room, same-sex marriage, and we're going to be talking about Class War from Matthias Cormann. We're just going to go to a quick track. This is Frank Ocean. Very, very fitting before we start launch into our discussion of SSM. I can get this working. All right. It's a little bit of an off-the-cuff episode tonight. All right. Taking us into the break, ASAP 12E Riviera. Coming up after the break, same-sex marriage. We want to know all about what you've been receiving through the postbox. You're on the Gristle on 2SR 107.3.
And have we talked about Barnaby's New Zealander of the Year award?
Yeah. need a week in Tahiti. I spend a weekend in Fiji. I probably sleep in the teepee. I'm on a boat if you need me. She on the coast in bikinis. I mix Patron with the Kiwis. I got some stones in my VVs. Don't want the moment to leave me. I just got back from Japan. I'm like konnichiwa bitches. I bought some heat for my bitches. I'm like a Lee, how I kick it. I can't believe how I did it. My people preaching my scriptures. I'm posing peace in my picture. I mix the weed with the liquor. I'm on the way. Counting down my days, I'm on the way. Paradise all up in my way. So you talk to me, so you in my way.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SR 107.3, 2SR.com, and possibly being shoved through a mailbox, not unlike certain hate materials relating to same-sex marriage. Plebiscite. Now, things have been getting
Postal survey.
Well, it is pleb insight, in the insight with a C. This week has seen the gloves come off, but not in a fun way. That you might see at a dark room with hate posters and hate pamphlets being put through letterboxes. Friends of mine here in Chippendale, Sydney, have received this sort of garbage through their letterbox. People were warning about this.
I hate having pamphlets put through my letterbox.
No, it says no junk mail.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
The Catholic Church goes, no. It's just insane, isn't it? I mean, like, who's got nothing better to do?
Can I just
confirm? Well, we haven't, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Can I just confirm, as the foreign correspondent reporting all the way from Melbourne, that otherwise known, that it has made its way down here as well. There are leaflets being distributed which have some truly horrible things said on them. And I think, as everybody said would happen, it's gone well beyond same-sex marriage. It's now about apparently alleging that everybody that has children, that they're a same-sex couple, are going to be pedophiles. And it's actually disgusting. So disgusting, in fact, that even Kyle Sanderland, who's normally Australia's largest wanker, came out today.
You can't say that on radio.
Someone on his radio show called them a fuckwit. So there you go. Sorry, my French.
Well, yeah. But it's true. I mean, and look, you know, full disclosure here, but everyone that listens to this show knows that I'm a bit of a Labour hack. And actually, more than that, I do a lot of thinking around how we win elections. And the fact is that as keen as the gay BLT community and its allies are on passing this vote, because it's an optional vote, there are more motivated people against same-sex marriage than there are motivated people to vote for. No, this is just...
That's what you might think logically, but the latest news polls that came out said the contrary, actually, when they tested support for same-sex marriage, as well as how likely are you to vote. People that support it are more likely to vote than those that aren't, at least according to the latest news
polls. No, but it's the numbers. It's the numbers of actually who is actually going to turn out to vote. It's the fact that there are...
The laws of mathematics.
Yeah, that
they're... So you're saying they're fake polls, sort of like Donald Trump with, like, fake polls.
No. Those polls haven't mapped the fact that among these demographic groups, you know, for example, older people, for example, are more likely to oppose same-sex marriage. They're also more likely... To get out
to
and
actually
vote.
Receive things in the mail.
But they don't
to answer things they receive in the mail.
Yeah, they don't have to get out.
Damn,
they just put it in the mail.
I've never mailed anything before. What do I do with this? So, yeah, no, you're right. There is a legitimate series of concerns. But can I ask, do you guys think that this thing will pass, or do you think it could be a close call? Could this be Brexit all over again?
I think it's going to be closer.
And I think
Brexit
is a good analogy to make, because in that case, the Conservative Party in the UK was kind of split over the issue. So the Prime Minister didn't push hard to say we're not going to say we were going to stay in the European Union, the more progressive option. And the Labour Party was left to push that issue by itself in the UK, and that's
pretty
very
badly,
similar dynamic.
Actually.
And they didn't do well with it. That's right. But it's a very similar kind of dynamic with this issue. And I think the point the punditaker is making is that there is a where you've got a rump, a conservative rump, who are opposed to it.
A rump indeed.
And are going to, they're opposed to it, and they will receive the vote, the survey, I should say, and they will fill it out versus all the impediments to those people who might be passionate about the issue, but the mechanism through which they have to lodge their survey disadvantages them.
I know. Okay.
Is it that hard, though, to just tick something?
Accounting for that, you're looking at levels of 70% plus support. The community support for same-sex marriage is very strong. I think the poll will return a weaker result than you would otherwise get in a national plebiscite that was compulsory, but I think it will still pass. But I would be very surprised if it was a no vote. I would be depressed. But also very
I mean, if you look at an electoral map of Sydney, for example, basically the strongly pro-gay marriage areas are the inner city areas that you would expect, and a couple of pockets in regional areas, you know, Byron Bay and so on. Whereas if you go out to Western Sydney, where the strong vote is for, if you like, the Labor side of politics, there are a lot of people, if you like, on the Labor side, who don't back same-sex marriage. Equally, there are people, if you like, on the Conservative side, if you like, in the North Shore, who do. And so,
and you've got people like Tony Abbott.
Very, very difficult, yeah.
You've got people like Tony Abbott, who, if we're going to talk about the Republic, is another parallel example. If you conflate two issues, so for a Republic issue, the debate now is about, do you want an Australian head of state, and then we worry about the mechanism later. Now, that is a clearer way to do it, step out the process for people. But you've got Abbott saying that freedom of religion or political correctness, all these kind of things, if you're against these things, you should vote against this postal survey. And so, like, you're mixing up, you've got people who are just trying to cloud the issue, and the discussion before, this is nothing to do with people, whether people in a same-sex relationship can have kids. They already can.
I know.
That is conflating an issue.
This is about gay divorce.
Yes.
This is allowing gay couples to divorce and sue each other in the courts for all they've got, which they already can do, actually.
But Tony Abbott once infamously said that he was not a repository of all wisdom. I think maybe it's time that somebody reposited some wisdom into Tony Abbott.
I think he actually... He was the suppository, not the repository.
Let's move on to the next topic. Starvin Marvin, Tony Abbott, of course, was called out today and yesterday for, as we were saying earlier, Reds under the bed.
Was this a lovely Annabelle Crabbs piece with him? What were you talking about?
No, this was Matthias Cormann.
Oh,
giving a speech to the Sydney Institute, which, if our listeners are wondering, is a think tank with particularly zero value, basically run by Jared Henderson at his house and a terrace house. All the old Tories get together and they drink port and talk about
things. And play Lean Biscuit.
Yeah, horrible. But Matthias Cormann was there, and he basically compared the Shorten opposition to the Soviet Empire, saying that, these are the policies you'd get in the USSR under East German rule.
Oh, it's a fairly apt comparison, sure.
The USSR was never under East German rule.
Well, that sounds like something from that think tank.
And whilst he was making that comment, Turnbull was saying that actually the Reds under the beds were Tony Abbott having too many red wines and missing votes in Parliament.
That's very true. That's very,
where he
very
keeps his cellar.
Very, very true. Do we think that this reframing by the government of Shorten's Corbyn moment as the Corbyn moment is really going to matter? I mean, Shorten's got a point. The fact is, real wages have been flat. House prices, and if you include house prices in purchasing power, are dropping. House prices are rising, purchasing power is dropping. Corbyn has, Shorten Corbyn has a point, doesn't he?
Shorebanders,
boo.
I don't think it's a point that anyone hasn't been aware of. I mean, everyone knows that their wages haven't gone up.
Yeah.
So, but what is he going to do about it? The only way you're going to stop that is by stopping immigration.
How does that work?
Stopping immigration might be a branch too far, but you could certainly look at whether there is a depressing effect on income from having excessive immigration, maybe paring it back a little bit.
Shouldn't we give workers more bargaining power?
Marvin raises a good point, which is that Shorten has identified the illness, just like somebody can look at you and say, oh, you've got the flu. Or, you know, maybe you've got leprosy. I don't know.
Maybe in the Australian Conservatives.
Actually, I've got this nasty itch.
Oh, really? Well, you should probably check that out, because crap. Seriously, okay, he has good budget policies that will help us return to surplus. There's a lot of tax raising in there. But what are his pro-growth policies? What is going to drive income growth? Unless you tackle immigration or put forward something to strengthen the union movement, I don't see anything in his platform that will actually deliver better outcomes.
That's because you don't earn enough money to see the true value of the platform, you see? Okay.
But this message, this is an absolutely crazy message from the coalition. Last year they were saying that Shorten was in bed with big business, he was having dinner with billionaires
and so on.
And now he's the most left USSR socialist person in the world. Oh, and that just happened overnight.
See, this flip-flopping by Shorten, you just can't trust him, can you?
Ideology slash. He just jumps from group to group.
Yeah.
And then, whoever he feels like he's in bed with.
They are claiming he's a policy around the world ticket. He has a stop in every port. All right, we are going to go to a very quick track.
A quick one. For a quickie.
We're going for a quickie. This is DJ Spin, Bounce and Break Your Back. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about Donald Trump and Blacks for Trump. It's a great story. Stick around on 2CR107.3.
Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. You bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. You bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. 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 Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back. Bounce and break your back, you bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back. 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 You bounce so hard, you break your back, girl. Bounce and break your back.
I'm Nick Healy, host of Breakfast here on 2SER. I'm going to be helping Newtown Neighbourhood Centre create the Newtopian Dream. On August 29, I'll be sleeping out in Newtown Square and fundraising to support homelessness services. And the next morning, you can hear stories live from the square throughout breakfast. So support Newtown Neighbourhood Centre. Head to 2SER.com and sponsor the Newtopian Dream. 2SER is a proud supporter of the Newtown Neighbourhood Centre.
That's right, you're on 2SER 107.3, 2SER.com. With me, the Punditaker, Warm Lettuce, Demo Crazy and Starvin' Marvin. You're on the gristle. In the last few minutes we have left, we're going to be talking, of course, about a topic that we rarely touch on in this show, Donald Trump. This week, it's been a huge week this week. Three things he did: fired Steve Bannon, had an inflammatory rally in Charlottesville, and had a shitload of ecstasy tablets with the picture of his face printed, hauled up in, I think, Europe or somewhere. Team, which of these is the truly world-changing moment? Oh, and they're going to invade Afghanistan again, but who cares? Why don't we talk about Steve Bannon first off?
Eastern Europe.
Warm lettuce. I was too busy dealing with this dealing with these funny shaped biscuits with Donald Trump's face on them.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the last thing you would want to eat is Donald Trump, especially his face.
I know.
It's just horrible, but...
What about his hair?
Even if it was like a bath salt, you wouldn't want to shove it up your you-know-what.
Yeah,
I
absolutely wouldn't. But if you feel like grabbing your knife by the pill, then there are some illegal narcotics that are being sold in Eastern Europe that have Donald Trump's face as their shape.
Indeed.
Now, I don't know about you, but a fun night out on Friday, I can't think of anything less enticing than that. But he's making ecstasy horrible again.
Making it horrible again.
A bad trip indeed.
Absolutely horrible.
A bad trip with Trump.
I wonder if they have Slobodan Milosevic-shaped ecstasy tablets in Eastern Europe as well.
Speaking of a bad trip, though, he's had another week. They've got photos out there now where it's like the Twilight Zone. Trump in a photo with people in his cabinet who have just disappeared. And this week it was Steve Bannon, who it was interesting reading the articles. And they said Steve Bannon was from the further right. So, like, Trump has redefined the right now. It's kind of like a football team. You've got the inside right, you've got the outside right, you've got the far right, and then you've got the further right, which is where, like, Steve Bannon resided, but he's now back to where he started.
Well, indeed, and this is the point. He's so far right, he's now not only sitting on the bench, he's evicted from the stadium, back in the Breitbart cesspool.
The worst thing for...
Sorry, Starvin?
The worst thing for the Donald, though, is that he's now taking aim and firing full salvos across the Donald's bows from Breitbart. So, that was the favoured news outlet not that long ago.
And now it's the dump on Trump Centre.
The dump on Trump Centre, exactly.
Does anyone know what Breitbart means?
What does it mean?
I actually did a Google on it. It means like the Third Reich will return very soon.
Oh, that's Google.
It's amazing how those Germans, so efficient, they can get so many concepts into two syllables.
Interestingly, Andrew Breitbart, after whom the site is named, was actually anti-racist. And yet he was known as desegregating certain frat house dorms that he was at or in when he was at university. So it's interesting to see this sort of tension on the right, where obviously quite a few of them are keen on the racialist.
Not being Nazis, yeah.
But frankly, Trump gets a raw end of the deal, because I saw quite a diverse crowd at the Phoenix rally the other day, where he was saying that there's no big deal about Nazis and white supremacists rallying. There was a guy wearing a Blacks for Trump shirt, and we were chatting off air that, given he was the only one, it should have said Black for Trump.
Token
Black for Trump. And apparently...
the difference between Let's Eat Grandma and Let's Eat Grandma.
Yeah. And it's true. And anyway, so... if you check out this guy, check it out on Twitter. He's the Blacks for Trump guy on Twitter. He's wearing a shirt called God2.com, and apparently he's like this insane cultist. He's like this guy. He's just like off with.
That's who you want in your team.
I know.
He's going to get a cabinet position very soon.
Better in the tent than outside the tent.
You know what? He was there making Ben Carson seem like the sane, rational choice.
That's why he was there then. But look, I was a bit surprised with the Afghanistan speech, because, you know, here we go. He was against what Obama did, and Breitbart really gave him four barrels on this one, because he's actually putting more troops and more resources. What's the exit strategy? No exit strategy. And, you know, if Pakistan won't toe the line, we will bring in the Indians. Can you create a more volatile situation to put Indians in control of Afghanistan? I mean, oh, my God.
I think we're getting away from the discussion of issue 69. We do need to have final thoughts before the end of the night.
I know.
So, will Trump last the rest of his term, or will he get impeached?
We all have 5 seconds, because we're...
I say yes.
I think he will last, and he may win. He may win another term.
He may win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Indeed.
Up by November.
Peace in Afghanistan.
All right,
He's gone by November, I reckon.
That's all we have time for.
Give him a year and a half.
Taking us out, Go Opel Close. Stick around for Gay Panic and all the great shows here on 2SCR. This has been The Gristle. Tune in, stick around.